Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Daniel's prayer in Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 10. In our previous study, we saw Daniel, the Bible student, figuring out that the Babylonian captivity was coming to an end after 70 years by studying the writings of Jeremiah. And in our English Bible, it was chapter 25, verse 12, that provided him with this specific information. Now, we see Daniel respond with prayer, and a very heartfelt prayer filled with truth, repentance, confession, intercession, humility, and various other characteristics of heartfelt biblical prayer. This is so much, there was so much in this passage that we decided to carry this over into an additional study that will follow this one. But if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And we want to say a word of thanks. We don't say it often enough for the folks who write and encourage us, those of you praying for us, and we do receive unsolicited financial contributions, and those help us to pay for the internet ministry that we carry on with sermon audio and with various other websites, including bbfohio.com, bbfohioradio.com. We just want to thank you for that support. And now we begin our study of Daniel's prayer, Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 10. This is part 1 of 2.
Start in verse 3, go through verse 19, and we're titling this study, The Prayer of Daniel. All right, before we get in there, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We thank you for the wonderful fellowship we have here with these folks. And Lord, it's just a blessing, and we thank you for it. We thank you for providing people who are the church. We thank you for providing the money to pay the bills and to have things like pizza night. And we thank you for all those folks who will be listening online and sharing in the fellowship from a distance. And we just thank you, Lord. There's so many things we could thank you for. We could go on all night. But we do thank you for this book. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, and ask he helps us as we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. I might have to get you guys up and have you dance with Jenny for a couple of minutes. Some of you look like you might be going to sleep on me already. I haven't started preaching yet. Hank, you go get everybody a bag of those MSG chips. Yeah. All right. Well, as I said, the prayer of Daniel is what we're titling this because it's the prayer of Daniel. And I like this picture. The one thing somebody pointed out, there's a painting sort of like this, and they said that, well, it looks like people are looking up at him and see him up there praying. And I don't think Daniel did it to get attention, but they knew he did it. So somebody had observed him praying like that, or they wouldn't have been able to frame him. All right, so anyway, there's a painting where these people are looking up at him while he's praying, and like I said, I don't think he did it to get attention. But that's I just point that out because, you know, some people say they won't pray when they get food at a restaurant because they say, well, I don't want to be like a Pharisee. And my response to that is I don't think that's what the Pharisees actually would stand up in the restaurant and announce that they were getting ready to pray and would pray loud enough that everyone in the place could hear them. Yeah, with a trumpet and everything. So that's not really a good reason not to pray. And I think we've had people, we've gone out of town and we're here locally and Jenny and I prayed, or we've had the family together and we pray. And we've had people come up and thank us and say, you know, thank you for being a good example. We need more families praying together like that and that sort of thing. So I think that's what Daniel did. He served as a good example. So let's pick up in verse 3. Verses 3 through 5. I'm going to read this. You can follow along. It says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." Now, I know some might ask about this verse 3. It refers to prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Fasting is one of those things that's not commanded, but it seems to be useful. And Jesus told his followers that when he left, it would be a good thing for them to fast. But people take it to an extreme, and a lot of times trying to prove their spirituality to them, to others mostly. And when I was a kid, I don't think they still do it, but on the one of the biggest FM stations in the region was WPAY down in Portsmouth, Ohio. And I think it was Saturday night. It was country music through the week, but I think it was on Saturday night they had an apostolic church who would put their service on. And if you know anything about those, especially down in the hills, these apostolic churches, it was nothing but noise. the guy would preach, and you could hear this. Couldn't understand a word he's saying. And their music, they would start out and he would sing, and it actually would sound pretty good for, 20 seconds or so. And then suddenly all the clapping and yelling, and it sounded like hell. Wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then they would go once, I think, a month, and they would announce, "We're fasting." And they would tell the whole region how hungry they were. "But we're going to stick it out. We've been fasting now for..." Usually it was just a day or two. And they would celebrate by, after that service, which would just sound like... And then after that service was over, they would say, "We're going out and celebrate the end of our fast." And they would go down to the restaurant down the street and pig out. And... They never had a purpose for those fasts except to announce it to the whole community. And that's not, I think fasting is in a situation like this. It's pretty desperate. Daniel and all the Jews have been taken out of Judah. The tribe of Judah, Benjamin, all the Levites, but also of the other tribes, they were mixed in there too. And they're not even... It's like us being all losing our homes and our cars and everything and being taken out to Canada somewhere. And it's awful. Have you seen Canadian bacon? Canada is terrible. But I guess maybe it would be worse if they took us to Mexico City and they don't even have electricity half the day or something like that. So, But that's the kind of situation where you want to in get involved in fasting.
Although, seriously speaking, though, in Canada, they hear right now they get arrested for speaking against.
Yeah, yeah. Years ago, a few years ago, they told John Hagee that if he crossed over into the border, they was going to arrest him. He did and they didn't, but they were threatening. I don't think they had a jail cell big enough for him. I'm a fat man. I can tell fat jokes. This is a very Jewish prayer overall, but this is a real sinner's prayer. You know, that thing they call the sinner's prayer, they go door to door and say, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and I guess they admit they're a sinner, but most of the sinners' prayers I've seen, they don't even bring up the fact that they've sinned and need to be saved. If you listen to TV preachers, their sinner's prayer, they don't even mention it. This is the words of a sinner's prayer. But, not that Daniel was necessarily guilty of these things. But he said, "O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." And so basically, Daniel's praying as a Jew, an Israeli, who have sinned in verse 5, as he says in verse 5. "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments." Clarence Larkin here says, about the pretty much the whole thing, but he's talking about it. I love this. He says, "Daniel's prayer is one of the most sublime in the Bible and is a model of confession, supplication, and intercession in which Daniel, the most spotless character outside of Christ, associates himself as a sinner with his people." That's why people have taught that Daniel at times is kind of a type of the Holy Spirit, and other times he's a type of Christ. And like Christ, who took our sin upon himself, Daniel here is kind of acting in that mediator, substitution kind of place in between God and the nation who right now isn't calling on him. And Daniel's trying to pull the two together. It's kind of what you see here. His opening prayer, he demonstrates humility. Listen to the prayers today, and it's so arrogant. And, I deserve, basically, you know. I'm a child of the king, therefore I demand, you know, that kind of stuff. Daniel didn't pray like that. Confession. And this is the hard one. This is where you name your sins. It's not just saying, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm sorry. It's actually telling what you did, owning up. You think about it, he already knows. But it's still hard to verbalize it in prayer when you're talking to the Lord. But he did. You praise God. That's actually my favorite part of the prayer. Favorite part of prayer time. When I pray, praising God is my favorite part. That's why I heard a preacher say years ago, if you don't like praising the Lord, you're not going to like heaven. I thought, well, I'm ready because that's my favorite part of prayer. And some of the songs, I love the songs that really just praise the Lord, you know, that kind of thing. What was that? He does that one. Write that down, Jenny. Supplication, admission, and intercession. You find that in Daniel's prayer. And we don't have the time, and I don't want to go through each one of those at length, but I crack up when I hear people say, I have trouble praying, I just have trouble thinking of things to pray about. You're thinking, what is that? You can't think of something to pray about? All you got to do is think of yourself and your shortcomings, your needs, health issues, your future, and then that should take you about a half hour. Then you get on, you turn on the TV, the world situation, the things going on. Think of your loved ones and all the stuff going on in their lives. It's just, I think there's a lack of humility. But there's also people have trouble thinking outside of themselves. And that's why prayer is hard. All of us have to battle that to some extent. So anyway, this is a Bible prayer. The only way to pray right is to follow God's Word. A lot of the dumb prayer you've heard over the years was born out of an ignorance of the Bible. False teaching. False teaching has bred a lot of the I bind you in the name of Jesus. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. I bind you. You know? Yeah. And that came because of the false teaching in the Gospels when Jesus was not talking to you. He was talking to his followers while he was on earth and made that statement. Never repeated afterwards. Jesus never said, this is for everybody. So, not rightly dividing the word of truth. And there you go. And here's one of the dumbest prayers is just when people talk to Satan. Why are you talking to Satan for? Are you supposed to be praying to the Lord? Think about that. You're supposed to be praying to the Lord and you're talking to the devil? And then the other problem with that is you're making the devil a god on par with Jesus. Not only because you're talking to him in prayer, but he can't be in all places at all times. I mean, if you're talking to the devil, then he's right here and he's nowhere else in the world. And so most of these people, they really have come to this false belief about the Satan himself, about the devil, that he's everywhere. No matter where I am, I can talk to the devil. No, if he ain't right there, he ain't there because he's not everywhere like Jesus. And so people are always like, Satan, I bind you. You want to say, time out. How do you know he's here? He's probably not. Now, I'll grant it, there's devils everywhere. I'm not saying there's not devils in the small d, but then say so. You know, little devils. Oh, and I'm not rebuking Olivia for blaming the devil for our buzzing noise either, by the way. No, I thought you were doing an imitation of the church lady. You remember? Is it Satan? You remember that? Oh, yeah. Could it be Satan? Amish. Oh, yeah. 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 The devil's in the electricity. Yeah. Yeah. There's another, and why did that? He was making fun, but there's people who always blame the devil. The devil made me do it. No, the devil isn't making you do that. James talks about that, by the way. That sin doesn't come from the devil. It comes from being conceived inside of you and so forth and so on and what have you. Let's go over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'd like to read the whole thing, but I won't. We'll go to verse 98. Psalm 119, 98. We're going to read a few verses. They're small. 98 through 105. 98. Psalm 119, 98 says, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." You know, if a person would just follow the Word of God, it makes you look tremendously smart. It makes you look so smart. And don't let it go to your head, though, when someone notices it and compliments you, because it's not you, it's God's Word. I was about 27, somewhere in there. Some lady came up to me and said, "You are wise beyond your years." She says, "Oh, I wish all the young people would just take a lesson from you." I said, "Well, ma'am, I appreciate that, but it's called the Book of Proverbs. They don't need a lesson from me. They just need to read the Proverbs. And you can read one a day, and it can be your monthly devotional. But it's God's Word. And that's what made Daniel so wise. He said, and this sounds arrogant, but it's not. He says in verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Jenny, that's, I think, true about you and most of your teachers.
Amen.
Yeah. Why? "For thy testimonies are my meditation." Because instead of you getting your understanding from Oprah Winfrey or the philosophers, you know, Kierkegaard and Nietzsche, and, you know, or going to the romantic writers like Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was insane, nutty. You ever read his stuff? And people quote these guys like Walt Whitman and these people, and like it makes them look smart and everything. And anybody who knows anything about those people know they were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They were nutty. And there's people who really think they're smart reading that stuff, and they don't read the Bible. Read verse 100 through 105 with me. "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Look, every one of those, it's, "I am this because of your word." Everything, all the wonderful knowledge, having more knowledge than his teachers, refraining from the evil way, hating every false way, departing, not departing from God's judgments, all that hinged on knowing his word. And that's what Daniel says in this prayer. Back to the future. 500 years after David wrote Psalm 119, Daniel wrote Daniel 9. Look at verse 6 back in Daniel. Verse 6. He just blamed all the problems of Israel, departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Read verse 6 with me. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. It's just such a sad thing as you read through the Kings, 1 2 Samuel, 1 2 Kings, 1 2 Chronicles, over and over. So-and-so is king, and he did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord, departed from the ways of his father David, and brought tragedy to the whole nation. Daniel repeatedly states the fact that a Bible-rejecting people will what? God doesn't destroy you. People blame God. They'll say, God, why? Excuse me. You have an instruction manual sitting in your closet called it the Bible, and you have not read it, and therefore you have self-destructed. That's it. Without naming the name on the video here, just we were talking about the gentleman who destroyed his family. Been rejecting the Word of God for years. Over and over you hear these same stories. People who self-destruct. Whether it's suicide or just dying from drugs or drunk driving or, you know, whatever it is. And you look at their lives and you just see a person who is self-destructed, having totally ignored God's Word. And it's a sad thing, but you know, the hardest thing about it is nothing you and I can do about it. It's their free will choice. They have chosen. And Jesus put it like this over in John 3. Turn over there real quick. John 3. John chapter 3. Of course, well known. John 3:16. John 3:3. John 3:7. All very well known quoted passages. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look at, that's verse 16, look at 19. This ought to be a memory verse right up there with verse 16. Read verse 19 with me. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's what Daniel's talking about in his prayer right now. Look at verse 20. It says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In other words, if you're doing evil, you want to hide it, so you don't go into the light. But if you're doing good, you don't mind it, so you walk into the light. And that's what keeps men from coming to the light, is because they are wanting to hide their darkness. And ironically, most of those people want to pretend that they are light. Like Satan, who appears as an angel of light. His ministers appear as ministers of righteousness. And a lot of the people in hell right now.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.